The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Christ.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. The beginning of an Episcopal service, like today, starts with a prayer that we call a collect. It's a prayer on behalf of everyone gathered. And I often wonder how often the people who are gathered actually pay attention to the prayer. Because you see, each prayer is specific to the Sunday on which it's prayed. In California speak, we would say it sets our intention for the rest of the liturgy. But I often wonder if the words get lost. And yet, the words in today's collect jumped out at me. It ends with, "Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior." This is our prayer for the day, and it is no small task that we will be asking of Ella and Jaden, who are going to be baptized today. And in fact, it's no small task that God asks of all of us who are baptized and living into our faith. In our baptism, we are to keep the covenant and boldly confess Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And I got to thinking about, what does that mean? What does boldly confessing look like? And I went back to a story that I ran across a few weeks ago. A Lutheran pastor, ordained, raised in the church, went to a Lutheran church in a place where she had never been. So she was not known. She was a stranger. And she spoke of the struggle of being a new person in a church. Now, it should be easy. She knows the pattern of the service, as my friend calls it, episcoropics or Lutheranrobics. You know when to stand and when to sit and when to kneel and when one person might be doing one thing but you had the choice to do something else. She knew the prayers, she knew the hymns, and she said the people were polite to her, and they introduced themselves, and at the peace, they turned around and shook her hand, and after the service, they asked her to go to coffee, and yet, she still knew that she was a stranger. And she realized in this moment of being a stranger that dragging someone to church for a service is often not the reason that they end up coming back. No pressure to our godparents today, but I think about how many godparents and family members have come through our doors on the day of the baptisms, and at the end of it, they're overwhelmed. Joyful, but overwhelmed, and still a stranger. The pastor goes on and she makes two concluding points. And the first is that any visitor, no matter how well they know what's going on, every visitor feels like they're coming and sitting down in the middle of someone else's living room. How many of you have ever tried out a new church? Yeah, you know that feeling? That feeling when everybody else at the party knows each other and you don't know anyone. I hate that feeling. And so this pastor made me begin to wonder, how do we go beyond being welcoming? How do we go beyond getting to know someone's name and giving them the peace? And how do we get around to the business of being inclusive and connecting and relationship building? I know how difficult this can be. I was at ordinations yesterday, and even the priests all run into their little huddle of their buddies and who they know. And then we remember, oh, we have visitors. Hi, you aren't from our diocese. Welcome. Okay, so then what happened next was, just so you're clear, we aren't perfect. But our instinct in church, our instinct with these people who we worship with and pray with and serve with, is that when we come, it's our time with God. And it's our time with our friends. And we enjoy our time much more if it's all with those who are familiar. And it's hard because we're called in our baptism to stretch ourselves to include new people into our circle. Not just make a seat available, but we're actually called to build relationships with one another, with people we don't even know. Now, this pastor had a second point, far more challenging. And her point was, we have to talk about our faith. We cannot expect our beautiful music, our well-done liturgy, our beautiful baptismal font, our great building, the friendly faces. We can't expect that to win people over because the heart of our faith is more than that. We have to talk about what we believe. We have to, as the colic says, figure out how to boldly confess why we show up at church on a Sunday. Or maybe we boldly confess by offering to pray for someone when you have no idea what they even think about prayer. Or maybe you boldly confess by just helping someone for no reason at all. I don't know how you boldly confess, but through our baptism, we are called to make our faith visible to others. Each of us in our baptism is marked on the forehead with oil and we're sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ owns forever. And that's when it begins, because our next question is, how are we going to live that out? So I have a challenge, particular to the parents and the godparents back there, but also to the whole congregation. How are you going to keep the covenant that you make on behalf of these children today? How are you, by word and example, going to boldly live into your own faith? You see, there's that part in the baptism service where, as a congregation, we promise to support these children. And we promise, in turn, to support one another in our faith. How do we actively work to ensure that these promises are not empty? How do we make sure that our "we will" actually means that we will? They're hard questions, so I'm going to simplify it. What do we want the baptizees this day to remember? What is the one thing about their faith we personally want them to know? What's the one thing about our faith that we're willing to not only share with them, but with anybody else in our congregation? Because we cannot expect children to keep the covenant, to to boldly confess Jesus if we aren't setting the example by doing so ourselves? And so, fair question is, so, Reverend Rachel, what's your answer? And in fact, a friend of mine quizzed me on that as we were talking about the sermon, and I was like, let me think about that. But actually, I know what my answer is, and it's at the end of the gospel. And God says, "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And each of us, I want every child, every baptizee, every person of Christ to know that they are God's beloved, each and every one of us, in whom God is well pleased. There is nothing that can separate us from that, nothing. Now I suspect, that each of us has a different answer. Mine isn't the right answer, it's only one part. And it's as it should be, because it takes the witness of all of those different answers that strengthen the faith of the newly baptized and strengthen the faith of all in the community. So today, in a few moments, when you renew your baptismal vow along with those being baptized, and you boldly confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and in the words of the baptismal covenant, think about what it is that is most important in your life within this covenant to boldly confess. Then be bold enough to use your life for that purpose. Be bold enough that your very life may proclaim the covenant as a witness to these children and to all the world, inviting everyone into God's abundant love. Amen.